continuing with Point Counterpoint Podcast Week, and this time, Forest Bench Wizard Blast is under the microscope. Will they come up with a show that wows the judges? Find out on this episode of America's Next Top Podcaster. Welcome to America's Next Top Podcaster. I'm Brian Ibbett. We're in the middle of Point Counterpoint Podcast Week, and Forest Bench Wizard Blast are working hard on their entry. We'll hear their coaching session with Tom, and later on this episode, we'll hear the submission for this week's challenge. But before any of that, let's listen in as I talk to Reed Messerschmidt about this week's challenge. I'm here with Reed Messerschmidt from Team 2, Forest Bench Wizard Blast. It's going to take some time for me to get used to that.
Yeah, we made it difficult for you.
You did. Yeah. It's too bad you can't change your team name every week to be kind of a play on whatever podcast you submit. Although maybe now the extra challenge for you guys is to come up with a podcast name every week that sounds like Forest Bench Wizard Blast.
You know, that's not a bad idea. It'd be really easy to do the jingle in that case.
It really would, right?
I could just plug it in and do the same obnoxious music, song new lyrics. Over and over again.
Right. Yeah. All right. So you made it through your first judging and elimination show. How are you feeling?
Feeling good. Feeling good. You know, second, it's okay.
It's not last. It's not first, but it's not last. In a race of three teams, that's the second best position you can be.
It is the second best. And I didn't feel like, you know, nothing was said that was too devastating. So
I really feel okay. Yeah, they really liked your submission. As a matter of fact, I believe it was Jenny's favorite of the three. I'm looking through her scores, which I can't divulge. I can't share with you.
Okay.
Let's see. Well, it was up there. Oh, it was jury's favorite of the three.
Right.
Yeah, jury loved your score loved your submission. And you know what? You still didn't get any real negative stuff from Jenny, and she was on fire last night with some great advice, really, really good feedback.
Had great feedback. I thought she was supposed to be the nice one, though.
Right? I know. That's a misconception that she's going to be, you know, the Paula Abdul. She's the Simon Cowell wrapped in a Paula Abdul costume.
She kind of rope-a-doped us a little bit.
She did. You know? She totally did.
Had my fist down.
That's right. Yeah. So, taking what you learned from judging elimination last night, what do you got working on? What are you guys working on for this week?
We are still very much in the brainstorming, kind of frame of mind. You know, as is my wont, I'm trying to push things in a weirder direction than I think most people are comfortable with.
Sure.
So we'll find a good middle ground. I'm just, you know, if I don't do it, who will?
Right, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you want to do what Tom always recommends, which is go further than you think you need to and then scale it back once you feel like you've got... It was a great way that Jenny described it, bananas on bananas. Like once it's so crazy, it starts going the other direction as far as being... quality content, then that's where we need to kind of scale it back and say, okay, we found the apex. That's where we need to sit.
Right. And bananas on bananas tends to be where I start. Yeah. So it's, you know, I think the hardest part of this whole competition is figuring out how to work with other people. My other show is just 100% me in every single aspect. So I'm a bit of a control freak, I think.
It's a dynamic that we love hearing about on this show is, you know, basically sticking four spiders in a jar, turning on the magnifying glass and
how
they go. But no, it does create a new dynamic. And we feel like, you know, we've seen this in the past season where it gives people a perspective that they don't normally think about and kind of broadens their view of creating a podcast. And I know your out-there-ness, your bananas on bananas is probably doing that with the other members of your team, right? I mean, they're probably looking at this going, wow, okay, yeah, we didn't think about going that far with this or adding this element to it. And I think having you as part of that really, really makes a difference.
I hope so. So where we're at now, I don't know if the rest of the team would agree if this is that this is where we're at now.
Sure.
But where I'm at now is I want to do a show called Apples and Orangutans. Orangutans, right?
Okay.
Apples and Orangutans. So you're essentially, it's point counterpoint, but the point is like, say, for example, this is the example I use. It's not going to be what we do. Somebody is like, Peter Dinklage is great. And the second person is like, ham salad is better than Peter Dinklage. You know what I mean?
Interesting.
And here's why.
Yeah. And so you both argue your point. So it's kind of like, there was a, I don't even think this even compares because it still kind of keeps in one realm, but it was something like Super Fight. It was a card game where it's like, all right, a dog with a squeegee on its head versus a trash can with a sword sticking out the front or something like that. Who would win in a fight? It kind of reminds me a little bit of that with just the randomness where, like you said, it's not even apples and oranges. It's not even two things that are fruit. You're comparing two things that don't even exist in the same ballpark.
Yeah, that are seemingly completely different. I think what I would hope would happen is that you would find some weird similarities and some strange middle ground. Like, you know, I'm sure ham salad and Peter Dinklage have something in common.
Right.
You know, they're both meat-based.
And again, this is, I'm saving the advice, the real good advice for Tom, but something like that, you'd almost have to do completely improvised with the moderator giving you, giving each of you your sides independently.
Right.
And then bring you together on the show as opposed to planning it out and saying, okay, here are the arguments I'm going to have as to why Peter Dinklage is better than ham salad.
Yeah.
And vice versa. Because you could almost come up with a pretty funny comedic way of doing that if you had the time, but I bet it'd be even funnier if you're having to come up with something on the cuff, like, well, ham salad's initials are the same as Han Solo. And who doesn't love Han Solo?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it still needs some fleshing out. But yeah, that's where I'm at anyway.
Interesting. Are you finding, you mentioned that the rest of the team, you feel like you're kind of the most out there with the rest of the team. Are they warming up to the idea? Are they open-minded about it? Do they feel like it's out there?
Yeah, they do. I'll warm them up.
Sure.
I'll warm them up. We're gonna have a talk tonight. We've kind of just been messaging back and forth today, and we'll hash it out through our voices, I guess.
Fantastic.
Tonight. We'll see where we end up. I don't know, who knows?
You know, record that. I mean, I know you're going to be recording that session anyway.
Right.
But record it because the discussion over it might turn into a great point counterpoint podcast.
It could. I know. It did come up as well. It's like generally, maybe it's just us arguing over what we should do for point counterpoint because we've all gotten along really well so far.
Right. Good.
I think there might be a little friction on this one.
Oh, interesting. Ooh, well, I love it. Exciting.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Well, hopefully you guys get that worked out and hopefully Tom is able to keep things moving smoothly and give you guys some great advice on how to tackle this project. I think it's going to be fun no matter what you do. I like the fact that you are thinking about something that I've never heard on any debate or counterpoint podcast ever. So again, not advice, but an observation that's something that I've never heard of. So,
I'm going to use that as ammo to convince them that my idea is good.
Great. Now they're going to all be like, oh, sure, Brian's going to take his side.
Right. Yeah.
Well, Reed, good luck, and look forward to hearing what you guys come up with.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Let's listen in on their coaching session with Tom Merritt.
So, Forrest Bench Wizard Blast, how are you feeling about week one? Week one was good.
Good.
Now,
yeah, it went well, I think.
I got a little destroyed, but we're pretty good.
I will not. I'm not going to spare your feelings with this first comment. The theme was horrible. in a way, I'm sure you intended.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. It was obnoxious. Yeah, is, obnoxious, I think the word I would horrible. Use. Yeah.
But my feedback is your setup was quick and clear. The campout kiss story was hilarious. It is the worst story in a good way. And a nice podcast verite references to older episodes. I really caught myself almost thinking like, wait, did they do other versions of this in the past? Because they felt like real references. So yeah, it was a good, solid show, you guys.
Oh, good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
But thank you. So what are we thinking of for this week?
So the idea we're at right now is kind of a debate game show, like a debate competition where it's like speed debates where the first person has 30 seconds and the rebuttal has 15 seconds. We're kind of still debating the topic of that. My idea is to call the show Apples and Orangutans and have it be two things that are completely unrelated.
You're not even comparing apples and oranges. You're comparing apples and orangutans.
Exactly. So like arguing, you know, which is better between two things that are unrelated.
Yeah, that's a good, I like this. Speed debates is a great example of pushing it in a way that could go horribly wrong. But if you nail it, could be super exciting. So what's your plan to capture that, given that, you know, you don't have to do this live, it's pre-recorded. You know, what's your plan to capture the best version of that?
A lot of editing.
I think we're just going to spit fire a bunch of different ones and then kind of cut together the best ones.
I think part of it's got to be a case of we're going to try to like not do the intro first, do a whole like, okay, we got 45 seconds and then try to pare that 45 seconds down to like 30 seconds through edits and then go back and do the intro. Okay, we have 30 seconds to do this. So it seems tighter and real.
I think that's a good approach. You can spiral out of control and make the edit a nightmare if you're not careful. I would throw out what the MST3K guys used to do, which was they would sit and watch the movie and make their quips and record themselves. And then they would go back and they would work on like, okay, what were the quips that worked? What are the ones that need to be written? And then everything would be structured and written out. They'd still might ad lib in the actual recording, but they would know where they were supposed to go. That's difficult if you're not good at reading scripted, because you don't want to sound like you're reading, and especially in a situation like this, but it might help you be able to handle the pickups and maybe like improve some sections that got bogged down or confusing. Even if you're not scripting it, just saying like, oh, let's do this again, but try to hit these points, that sort of thing.
I like that. That's a good way to do that.
I think our main questions for you are like, is the topic unique enough? Is the subject good enough or like understandable? I don't know. Like, are we pushing it far enough?
Yeah. So what are your topics that you're going to do in the speed debate?
We have not decided that yet.
Then your topics aren't good enough yet. Because you have to decide them. Are you going to do a theme, do you think, across multiple speed debates? Are you going to do a tournament, try to do a tournament style since you're doing like 30 second, 15 second?
We're going to do like, have a judge that just kind of awards a point, you know, like point two, you know.
We're looking at Around the Horn as one of the inspirations.
Right. Totally. You might consider like just to build up some interest, setting it up as a really simple tournament, right? Two people versus two people, two people versus two people, and the winners for the finale. That gives you roughly 3 minutes on each one of those. To push it through. And then, most of it's going to come in the execution, to be honest. But you will need some good topics. You want to come up with topics that are not only going to sound entertaining and interesting to the audience, but also inspire you to come up with good debate points.
Okay. I do like that tournament idea, though. I think that could be interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And going along with that, we had talked about doing for like each theoretical episode would have like an umbrella topic and then mm-hmm. having rounds within that.
Yeah, that makes sense. That'll help focus you and make it easy for the audience.
Okay, that's good to know.
So then it's just a matter of figuring out what that topic is. I mean,
that one umbrella.
Yeah.
Do you have any umbrella ideas, or you're still gonna brainstorm?
We were gonna talk about it.
Yeah, that's ultimately the problem that we're coming across of, do we want to go silly and really lean into the apples and orangutans and go completely unrelated? Or do we want to try to focus down a little bit more on more related? And I guess that's our hang up right now. Like, how far is too far? Again, bananas on bananas. Mm-hmm. Where do we want to find a comfortable groove on what we can do? That's where our current hang up is.
Because I think we want it to be something that people don't necessarily care about, but they care about it because we're debating about it, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, and the internet is full of examples of that.
where
no one cares until there's a debate and then suddenly they care. This is just off the top of my head, but it could be good to come up with a not serious, but a focused umbrella topic and then get silly. Mm-hmm. That way you're grounded, right? With something that, you know, people at least will understand and like, okay, they're talking about movies or they're talking about food or whatever. And then you get into like, wait, but how are they comparing these two entirely different things?
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
That could work. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's helpful.
And the broader the umbrella topic, the easier it is to do that. Movies is hard because it's like, well, then you're just comparing different genres. That's as different as you can get. But food, you can compare, you know, desserts to steak or something.
Right. Like my concern with, doing like a movie kind of thing is it's kind of hinging on whether people listening have seen the movie.
Right. Right.
I don't want to do anything that's contingent on that. And doing a more serious topic is like, we don't have time to give a serious topic
the attention
it deserves.
Yeah,
I think your instinct is right there.
Yeah, we keep running into that because we're like, oh, let's do serial killers. But then that's like research and people, we have to do like the most known ones. Or conspiracy theories is the same problem. And just everything that we're coming up with is like...
But I do think...
What if you do serial killers, C-E-R-E-A-L?
There's that. I was
a debate over breakfast.
I like that. Or it's something like, okay, if we're going to talk about serial killers, you know, you could have like, what was the better storage method, the refrigerator or under the porch in the backyard?
Okay. That's a great example of taking like the focused topic and then making the debates
going something
have a right turn. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. The problem is, you know, some people will get turned off immediately if it's serial killers. So you do want to have a topic that most people are like, yeah, okay, I'm interested in that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you can get kind of quirky with a focused topic. You know, you could do like things that begin with O or something weird like that.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Oh, it is.
I like that. That's helpful.
Mm-hmm. Or, you know, the color blue, and then it's, you know, a car versus blueberries.
Colorblind, damn it.
Even better. Work that in. I like that.
I don't know. These are not good ideas. They're templates that you can use to take good ideas from.
Yeah, that's the thing. We keep coming in with these fillers that are like, well, this is what we're going to say it's going to be now. But, it's an example, but
what's
actually going to be?
But those examples will end up sparking an idea.
Yeah.
One of the judges did bring up like trying to make it as close to a 50-50 like split as possible. And I don't know how much we need to really like follow that or listen to that. But like... With these topics being so different, do you think that's going to be a problem?
Well, I think probably the judges are thinking you're doing a serious topic, and the 50-50 split is important if you're doing a political debate, right? You want to make sure that you have a 50-50 split. If you're debating blueberries versus Volkswagens, then it's probably not as important, but you still don't want to have all the arguments about one side and not the other. You do want to maintain balance, and I think that is good advice.
At that point, it's more the conversation rather than the vote.
Yeah.
Like tally.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Okay.
Let's listen in on their work sessions.
So the more I think about it, the more, pardon me, I think I agree with everybody that the politics is probably, we should avoid that just because I don't know how passionate we're going to get about it, but I also know that, you know, I know Justin does a politics podcast on the regular. Like, that's his main thing. So that's going to be a tough one to win him over with anyway.
Each side, you do multiple topics, right? So say you do like squirrels and the circus or something, right? So you have, each side has 30 seconds to argue either squirrels or the circus. And then the next side also gets 30 seconds. And we just have like an arbitrary judge that's like, point for squirrel. And then you go down to the next one. Next.
Okay,
next
so...
one. So you're not like belaboring the point, and it's
yeah.
right. If it's a 10 like, minute show for
it's faster, you know.
You know, too. I think a format that could work with. Have any of you ever seen the ESPN show Around the Horn? Now, another one that I saw somebody post about just this evening was the Twin Films thing. That's kind of interesting, in a way.
Yeah,
because you can have like, okay, well, so we had, you know. What was it? White House Down and Olympus Has Fallen came out in the same year, which was the better Die Hard ripoff.
Right. My worry there is that it's just, I mean, you're just discussing movies at that point. And also, I think finding two of those movies that we've all seen is going to be a nightmare.
Yeah, that was my thought when I suggested it. Oh man, I don't know. I feel so uneasy about the like random topic thing just because it's weird and it's funny. And I'm sure that we can do it good in a good way and make it good, but I don't think that it'll come across to the judges as something that someone cares about. And I just keep thinking about what I think it was Justin said at the end. As a pointer to make sure that it's something that most people would be interested in and where it could be like a very close debate, where if it's like a random subject, I don't feel like we are going to be as passionate about it to the point where it's like a close debate, if that makes sense. Like oranges, like our argument would be like, whatever, it's orange and round or who whatever
I mean we
and then it's like okay well I know then it's like the other side's like okay I don't
orange peels
I don't
you gotta
know.
Peel the thing it's you get all messy and sticky and
I like the serial killer idea but we just again have to figure out how to make that different and a way to debate something about it.
Right.
Yeah. That's to me almost a tougher one than any of the others that we've talked about so far.
Sure. I mean, I think serial killers can go a lot of different ways. I have a couple written down and we talked about some earlier, but like where the debates really come in, I think is like unsolved crimes. Who do you think did it? Or, you know, the podcast Serial, like, do you think that he's innocent or guilty? Like those kinds of things with true crime.
Yeah, and another thing too is we can't worry about what the other teams are going to do. They're going to do what they're going to do.
Yeah, 100%.
What we have to completely focus on. I don't care what they could possibly be doing. We need to think about what we're doing and how we can make what we do stand out and be memorable and be executed. To the best of our abilities. Obviously, we're in this competition because we're all pretty good at what we do. And we showed in week one that we can work together and with little preparation come up with something that's not too bad. So now we've got more time. We've got more time together to kind of get how everybody acts and everybody works. So now it's, you know, we just are going to keep flexing that muscle.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, FBWB Productions proudly brings to you the greatest debate show podcast competition show in the world! It's time for Apples and Orangutans! Welcome, everybody, to this, the 22nd debate on apples and orangutans. Tonight, two strong challengers enter the dodecahedron and determine who is the
ultimate debate champion of the world.
All week.
So let's take a look at our competitors. In the red corner, with a professional debate record of 23-3, including 15 victories in the storied dodecahedron, it's Reed Rapid Fire Messerschmitt. Messerschmitt is known for his quick wit and jabbing remarks. We'll see how well that works for him in this matchup. And in the blue corner, with a professional record of 3-0, making her debut inside the dodecahedron, we have Melissa Stone Cold Kruger. She may not have the track record of Rapid Fire, but from what I've been hearing, she's got some great footwork and delivers a real haymaker at the end of her arguments. As always, our judge and referee is Gabriel Rodriguez, who will give out points each round to determine our winner. Let's listen in as he gives our debaters some final instructions.
Reed?
Ready.
Melissa?
Let's go.
Remember to keep this contest witty at all times. Defend your stance at all times. No personal attacks below the belt, and let's get it on!
As with our previous debates, we of course have a theme, and this week's theme is homophones. By virtue of a backstage coin flip, Reed won the honor to go first. Round one, the debate will be about beets, musical versus vegetable.
Fair enough. Vegetables are chock full of vitamins and minerals. Dubstep is not. No one ever had disappointing sex that they later regretted because of a root vegetable. Beets come from the ground. Techno beets mostly come from smelly guys on drugs. A delicious beet fresh from the garden doesn't make you feel self-conscious about your dancing. Dance beets are the devil's playground. Vegetable beets are God's multivitamin. Beet salads are delicious. A DJ named Beet Salad would be terrible.
A strong opening barrage from Reed. Let's see what Melissa has to counter that.
Okay, imagine this. You just got dumped by some guy that likes beet salad, which is super, super weird. So you go home alone and you're in your bed crying by yourself, and then you remember the one thing that makes you happy, beets. Specifically beets, such as You Make My Dreams by Hall & Oates. So you turn on that song and blast it as loud as you can. After listening to those glorious beats, it reminds you of the movie 500 Days of Summer, which of course is your all-time favorite movie and the best breakup movie. So you watch the movie and you already feel better about stupid beet salad guy, and all of that was because of some simple Hall & Oates beats.
Whoa, what a way to start off today's contest. As expected, Reed comes out in a flurry, citing all the benefits to beets, beetroot, and of course the distinct lack of Skrillex. Melissa, however, swings back, using my love of Hall & Oates against him. She does fall short with 500 Days of Summer being her best breakup movie. I'm sorry there, but Eternal Sunshine of a Spotless Mind takes the cake. So Reed gets the point for round one.
One round in the books, and now we move on to round number two, where the topic is brats. Or brats. I've heard it both ways.
Okay, picture this. You're at a barbecue. The sun is shining down on your 70s-style backyard in the middle of July. All you can smell is hot, delicious meat smoking on the grill. You sit down on the patio furniture about to enjoy your creation. All of a sudden, you hear a brat crying because his brother took the football and won't give it back, and another brat fell off the swing and starts screaming. You can't focus on your brat because all you can hear are the brats. Now, you tell me if you'd rather enjoy your hot, fresh brat without the brats, or leave your brat behind and go deal with the brats.
Oh, and that is going to be time. Now let's go to Reed for the counterpoint.
All right, kids are better than bratwursts. You don't have to slaughter an innocent animal to make a kid. Meat is murder. There are no tax benefits to owning a bratwurst. It would be weird to smooch a brat, but smooching a baby is one of life's great pleasures. Kids are a miracle. Brats are, at best, a fancy hot dog. When my son says, "I love you, Daddy," it fills me with the type of joy I'd never dreamt of before he came into my life. Case closed.
Oh, as to be expected for round two, Melissa comes out with her unique style to paint such a vivid picture of summer at its finest, before, of course, keenly reminding me of the horrors of children. Reed counters with a devastating hook, though, by calling such a sacred Midwestern food just a fancy hot dog. Ouch. Still, with a final blow delivered on the back of a child saying, "I love you, Daddy," I can only imagine in the future it's followed by, "Can I borrow the car?" Sorry, but Melissa gets the point for round two.
Even though Melissa came right up against the buzzer, she still eked out a round two victory. We move on to our winner-take-all round three,
where the word is cereal, like for breakfast, versus cereal, like for 25 to life. And it'll be Reed to start talking about a serial killer.
All right. John Wayne Gacy is better than Lucky Charms. Did John Wayne Gacy murder kids? Yes, and that is wrong. But his art is pretty interesting. Lucky Charms never managed 3 successful Kentucky Fried Chicken franchises. John Wayne Gacy was a person. Lucky Charms is just food for kids and stoned adults. Sufjan Stevens has yet to write a tender ballad about Lucky Charms. And that's enough for me.
Reed coming out in the final round throwing haymakers. It's a bold strategy. We'll see if it pays off for him.
All right. When you think back on your childhood memories, don't you want those memories to be of you sitting at your kitchen table in your footsie pajamas, eating a bowl of Lucky Charms with ice-cold milk about to watch some Saturday morning cartoons? Or do you want your childhood memories to be you trying to escape a creepy man dressed as Pogo the Clown who's showing you magic tricks in his basement? Maybe you won't even have those memories of your childhood because you won't exist anymore. I prefer memories of Lucky Charms and Saturday morning cartoons, but that's just me.
Whoo, Melissa coming in strong to end the contest. Now it's time to go to Gabe with the final results.
Goodness, Melissa struck hard right in the childhood there, bringing up sugary and borderline diabetic memories of colorful cereal and milk-stained jammies. Still, Reed's quick jab served him well, just as well as the 3 fried chicken shacks that served up finger-licking goodness. But really, even Sufjan and his guitar can't pick a quick lick for the finger-licking sick kick. And so, point goes to Melissa for her argument for the killer cereal over Reed's serial killer, giving our final tally of 2-1. And winner of Apples and Orangutan 22, Melissa Stone Cold Kruger!
Oh, in a stunning upset, Stone Cold Kruger comes in at the end and takes out Reed Rapid Fire Messerschmitt to take the title of Ultimate Debate Champion of the World
for a week.
And that is going to wrap things up for Apples and Orangutans 22. For referee Gabriel Rodriguez and the entire FBWB production staff, I have been your host, Travis Crawford. Transportation provided by Russian cab driver Pick Up on Drop Off, and legal services provided by the offices of Howard, Fine, and Howard. Copyright 2019 FBWB Productions.
That was Apples and Orangutans, Forest Bench Wizard Blast's Point Counterpoint Challenge submission. On the next episode, we'll see how the Banana Hugs are doing with their submission, and then we'll wrap up the week with the Judging and Elimination episode, where the competition will end for one of our players. It's all coming up this week on America's Next Top Podcaster.